4 days away from BYU and their first road trip at East Carolina. What did we learn from BYU's week four depth chart? Plus, what in the world did ECU's head coach say about Bear Bachmeyer? And who is the best team in the Big 12 right now? Frankly, who's overrated? Who's underrated? We answer the most pressing Big 12 questions heading into week four.
Safety Raider DeMooney details what the focus of the BYU defense was during the bye week and the keys to slowing down ECU's passing attack. And ESPN Sean Farnham breaks down his high expectations for A.J. Devonta, Richie Saunders, and BYU men's basketball in year two under Kevin Young.
Oh, yeah. Then there's basketball. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, September 16th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is always ready to taste test pizza, Jerem Jordan.
Oh, yeah, man. That's one of the greatest exports Italy's given us, which is awesome. So Dave Portnoy does these pizza reviews, Barstool Sports. They are coming to Utah for Big Noon Kickoff and Wake Up Barstool and all that. And, you know, Dave's kind of wondering what the pizza in Utah will offer. So let us remind the viewers that men's volleyball player Sam Cagle once flew to Chicago to get Dave to try his pizza. And Dave gave him an 8.1.
That's dedication.
Sam has created his own kind of vehicle to cook pizza on, a baking sheet, if you will, for pizza, which is, that has a better name for it. I can't think of it in the moment. But he got an 8.1. Sam needs to rep us, meaning Utah, with Dave if it comes to that. Now, I do admit, near a certain school up north, there's a certain pizzeria right near campus.
Yep.
The Pie. It's really good.
It is good.
I really like it.
I love that Dave said, there's no way I would know that this pizza was made this way because it tastes so good.
Yeah.
So shout out to Sam.
I retweeted someone who posted that yesterday, and it's fun. Like, he flies to Chicago just to get Dave to try his pizza. Sam, by the way, married Cozy Burnett, who also played volleyball at BYU.
Volleyball family.
Volleyball family.
Indeed.
Love Sam and Cozy. That's awesome.
I would highly recommend, you mentioned the export from Italy, eating pizza in Italy. Listen, I thought it was going to be overrated, Jerem. I thought, yeah, okay, we're going to Italy, whatever. Like, pasta, sure. The pizza is everything it was laid out to be. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's go. I'm hungry. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
My job as a head coach is to make sure that we're consistently as good as we possibly can be. The goal is to be more disciplined, be really physical. Stay humble, stay hungry.
We want to prove that last season was not a fluke.
It's going to be a good moment for us to learn and see where we're at.
I'm hungry, day hungry. What's trending? Presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. BYU in East Carolina set for Greenville, North Carolina on Saturday night. The Cougars on the road for the first time this season. If you missed it yesterday, 6.5-point favorite for BYU.
I hear that's up to 7.5.
Okay, so people still like BYU more than the initial odds makers line.
Crazy.
We're going to learn a lot about Bear Bachmeyer, we think, when he makes his first road start, because it's just start number three in his college career. Yesterday, East Carolina head coach Blake Harrell talked about Bear, the BYU freshman quarterback, in his weekly media conference, and we want you to listen to what he said.
He's a bigger kid. I mean, he's 215, 20 pounds. You know, looks more like the Army quarterback from last year, maybe a traditional quarterback, a guy that's bigger, can run the football. Doesn't really look like a freshman out there in the first two games. Now, it hasn't been a lot of stress, and you know, everything's been smooth and easy going for him. But he's looked really well and throws the ball really well too. So he certainly creates some challenges, but at the same time, you know, we got to make sure we make him be a quarterback. We stop the run first. Put him behind the sticks, make him throw the football, make him sit back there and they protect it, and make him make full field reads down the field. And, you know, our crowd could certainly be a factor there as well. You know, the crowd knows it'd be huge. And again, they've had two home games. So when they're on offense, it's been pretty quiet for him. Now it's all of a sudden he's on the road. He's across the country. I think he's originally from maybe California. So he's coming to the East Coast maybe for the first time. So let's make sure we give him a warm welcome. And then defensively, yeah, we got to disguise some looks, give some different things in there. I think right now he's more locked in on a certain receiver and how they do things and getting those guys open on the deep sell routes and deep benders. So we got to make sure we take those first reads away and make him get to a second or third guy, and that'll also give us a chance up front to get home.
51,000 fans fit into Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. Understandably, they want a home field advantage, and they want to make Bear Bachmeyer feel that noise and pressure. some telling things in those comments, Jerem. So what stands out, aside from him wanting to have a raucous home environment?
Where's the fantasy analogy or metaphor? It was Centaur from Portland State. We didn't hear anything from Frank Reich. Where's Blake
Just straight
Carroll's?
Military, like the Army quarterback?
He's like the Army quarterback. That's no fun. The Centaur was awesome. The thing that he said that stuck out the most was he seems to lock onto his first receiver. That is probably a thing he's noticed on film, of course, and a freshman attribute. So obviously, you got to look off the first. If it's not open, get to the second. Certainly things are going to be a little different, by the way, without JoJo Phillips. Parker Kingston didn't have a great game. Hopefully he can kind of snap out of it, be the guy that we know he is, and Chase is your main guy. So Cody Hagan kind of put out there a little more. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that's what sticks out the most is, oh, he's kind of locking onto his first receiver. Okay, true freshman. Perhaps that's the thing he needs to look off the safety and then go here. You know, these are all things, trust me.
Yes.
This isn't news to Bear or Aaron Roderick. Aaron's probably the first one that's been like, hey, you're a little too obvious on locking on that first guy. I guarantee they've had that combo.
Well, if Matt they Mitchell, didn't have that combo yet, they've certainly had it
For
now.
Sure they've had it. On a bye week, they always talk about, we self-scout. That would be a thing they would have talked about.
I'm not sure I would say that out loud if I were an opposing head coach about the opposing quarterback to add to that rhetoric, because now maybe Bear is even more inclined to go and make sure that doesn't happen. Whereas if the defense is preparing for him as a true freshman quarterback to be locked into the first guy, I don't know. The gamesmanship before the game is interesting, and how much do you want to say without tipping off your opponent? And I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make if he says something like that, but I was a little surprised he got that specific that early in the week.
Thank you for that nugget.
Indeed.
We want people to have an opinion in these press conferences. That was great.
Yes. They called the stadium the FIC, okay? And East Carolina fans were in my mentions yesterday. I got tagged into this somehow.
I only had one or two going, you think it's going to be a blowout?
Pleading.
I should have said that with an accent.
East Carolina fans pleading for their own to show up because the BYU alumni group is positioning.
Nothing says desperation like, they're coming to our stadium. We need to... BYU fans show up. Oh, they travel.
BYU fans are flanking to come in and surprise them. Now, by now, you got to know the BYU fans travel well.
Yeah, they in 2017.
They show up well, I should say.
Yeah, show up. Yeah, exactly.
And they will again. But I thought that was really interesting that, again, there's some desperation. No. BYU fans are trying to buy all the tickets. Don't sound to BYU fans. Oh, good stuff. Be heard.
And that's
Saturday
where
night.
And that's when it's okay to just be like, yeah, I'm totally an ECU fan.
Yes, indeed I am.
That's gamesmanship, not lying. Wear a purple shirt in your profile for this week. Okay, BYU released an updated depth chart ahead of Saturday's game, unlike Utah, at East Carolina. Here's some notable changes. Waylon Lapuahu, Justin Kirkland listed on the depth chart, which is great. Still no Che Bryant Strother, who was injured. Cody Hagan is listed as the third starting receiver for JoJo Phillips, who is injured. What do you make of these updates?
Well, I'm glad to see Waylon Lapuahu and Justin Kirkland back in the depth chart. We hoped that they would be back and available for this game, certainly by the Big 12 opener against Colorado.
Yeah.
This can only help BYU in the trenches when you're talking about two veteran players who have made an impact in several meaningful games. Also, I want Waylon's leadership and personality on the field.
Yeah.
He's a natural leader for that offensive line, and I think he's going to do great things to help BYU establish a run game that we feel like has to be established to take pressure off of Bear Bachmeyer in his first road start. I don't know if he's going to play. I'm hopeful that he will. I think Waylon is more likely to play than Justin Kirkland is this week. I don't think Justin Kirkland has to play this week on the defensive front.
No.
But I feel like it would be beneficial if we could get Waylon back out there and see what he can do, what he's capable of, to help add some depth to that offensive line.
Justin Kirkland isn't needed to defend a good run game until Arizona, maybe West Virginia.
Yeah.
So Colorado is not looking to run a ton, right?
West Virginia will run, so maybe that, to your point, that's the one where he's needed on the front.
Yeah, and Jaheim White got hurt out for the year. No, Che Bryant Strother. We know that he is injured, and Kalani said he'll let Che kind of announce what the situation is there. It doesn't seem like Che's going to be in the mix for a minute here,
which
if not longer, which really stinks.
He was playing his best football.
He was battling with Cialis here there. Cody Hagen sticks out quite a bit because now it's like, yeah, this is the guy. They rolled him out in media availability. That means they want to give him some more of the spotlight. He now gets an opportunity to touch the ball more. I want to see him more in kick return. I love this kick return against Stanford. I love the, obviously, end-around tornado reverse. That was cool against Portland State. He's got good hands. His speed is his greatest attribute. So I'm excited to see kind of what that means. There's a natural attrition associated with the football season. People get hurt. Other guys need to show up. They need to be in the mix. They need to emerge as a guy that you can trust. And I think Cody Hagen's going to be one of those guys for a couple of years, which is awesome.
Now, I said it a while ago and discussed it with Fessy Satake, but I feel like Cody has a lot of attributes that Gunnar Romney does. He's not quite as big as Gunnar, but I think his hands are super reliable. I think he's a really, really smart and intuitive receiver. He has an unorthodox running style.
Which is interesting because he's one of the fastest kids in the history of the state of Utah.
So I think you watch him run and you're like, oh, he's not that fast, but he is.
No, he's like...
because of the form.
He's like low 10 point whatever in the 100.
Yes.
He's fast.
And Fessy called it unorthodox, the way he runs, just the way sometimes he catches the ball and his catch radius. He's like, it's not typical to what you would see your normal receiver do, but he's like, it works for him, and it's almost an advantage for him.
Yeah, around these parts, we've been told we're an unorthodox Christians. We have our own way of doing things. So does Cody when he runs, but that's who we are, and we love it.
I don't feel like, and this is not in any way, shape, or form meant to discredit what JoJo Phillips is capable of, because JoJo, I believe, is a talented receiver and was playing his best
football. We wanted to see him take
BYU.
That step forward.
Yes, I thought he would. I thought he'd be BYU's second leading receiver.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there is that much of a drop-off. I think they're different players, but in terms of production available for BYU, if you don't have JoJo available and you have Cody in there, they'll find different
ways. Let's see what he can do.
They'll find different ways to get Cody involved and use his best assets to get BYU the production that JoJo would have otherwise provided.
I want to see deep threats to Cody. I really do. Obviously, laterally, you want to get him the ball to try and get in space like the tornado reverse. But I want to see him down the field. I want to see a super deep threat. Chase Roberts, you know, you think he's the best offensive player I think BYU has. LG Martin arguably could be that guy too. Let's see what happens with Cody. And Parker needs to have a good game. This is an important game for him.
Bounce back
coming
game.
Off that.
For his mental state,
yeah,
honestly, just to establish the confidence.
We know he's a good player. Let's just get a good game under the system, flush that other one out.
We have some data points now surrounding the Big 12 Conference as we approach week number 4. But obviously, there is still much to be learned. We're going to present a number of fill-in-the-blank statements about what we feel like we know to this point when it comes to Big 12 football this season. Our first statement is based on something that Trevor Maddich said on Maddich Monday on our program yesterday. Let us remind you of that now.
The best team in the Big 12 right now is Utah.
And as long as thanks for joining us, Trevor. We appreciate the time.
Maddich declaring Utah is the best team in the Big 12 right now. Okay, so with that in mind, let's opine further on who we think the best team in the Big 12 is. Jerem, fill in the blank. Blank is the best team right now in Big 12 football.
Texas Tech. Give me Texas Tech. They've looked really good in all three. I know the competition hasn't been great, but that's the same thing with BYU. Like, just dominate that competition. They put up 67, 62, and 46 points. They've allowed 7, 14, and 14 against Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Kent State, and Oregon State. They should be 3-0, and with all those talented transfers, they've come together and they've looked good. To me, Texas Tech looks like the best team. I could see the argument for Iowa State, but honestly, it's kind of weird what they did last week, playing a one-score game with Arkansas State. I see the argument for Utah. I think if BYU had one more kind of blowout win, it'd be the same argument that I'm making for Texas Tech. Give me the Red Raiders right now.
Yeah, hard to argue with the style points that Texas Tech has put up. They look absolutely dominant. And they look fast and physical and uber-talented and deep. So I totally understand why you would go that route. And frankly, in my mind, I thought maybe it is Texas Tech. But for the sake of having a different opinion and for the number one team in my Big 12 power poll, I'm going to go with Iowa State based on not the style points per se, but because they have the most influential data points. And that is they have beaten Iowa. They have beaten Kansas State in a weird early season game in Ireland. And good teams find a way to win close games. Like, that's a sign of a mature, veteran, solid, good team. When you can win close games, and they've had multiple already this season, they're just really well coached. Their defense doesn't give up a ton of points. I know their offense hasn't been as explosive outside of a 55-7 win against North Dakota, but they're doing enough. And so right now, when we're talking about, okay, well, what have you shown me? What have you done? What's the actual data in the win-loss column? Good teams find a way to win close games, and so I'll give the nod to Iowa State because they've played a tougher schedule than Texas Tech. Now, if Texas Tech beats Utah on the road this Saturday,
the winner of that game is the best team.
Absolutely.
Just if Utah wins, they're the best team in the Big 12 right now. All Blank right. is the most overrated team in the Big 12.
Okay. This is always fun. It's always fun. These are the ones that end up in your mentions as well. Like, oh, how dare
Social
you!
Social media right now is like, we're going to clip this one off and mention the school's account.
Okay. I'm going with Arizona State, Jerem. The most overrated team in the Big 12. I feel like Arizona State is dealing with something that BYU had to deal with when BYU lost Tyler Allgeier. Arizona State lost Cam Scataboo. And he meant so much to that team, just like Tyler Allgeier did to BYU. Now, BYU, the year after Allgeier, was still a good team, but they clearly were not the same. They finished 8-5. They had a four-game losing streak, but they went in with high aspirations because of what Allgeier and the Cougars did the year before as the de facto Pac-12 South champions. I just think that while Arizona State does have speed and talent and a really good quarterback, Cam Scataboo is like a generational type player for Arizona State. Like
if you had a head that size, you would too.
My goodness. And he was playing well for the New York Giants last Sunday as well. Like, he's making an impact as a rookie. Right now, they're not as good as everybody thinks that they are. They lost to Mississippi State. To me, Arizona State is the most overrated team in the Big 12.
Most overrated to me is Iowa State, because I have them third or fourth in the league, not first. So the fact that they're 12th in the AP poll, the highest ranked Big 12 team, I think they should be kind of in the high teens. I know they're 4-0. They have the only ranked win in the league, by the way, against Kansas State so far. They're good, but I don't know if they're great. The one-score game against Arkansas State's a little weird. And the fact that, yes, they did beat K-State, but K-State's 1-3. Like, they're not as good as we thought. Is Iowa good? That's a good win in your rivalry game. Yes, they won the games. Credit to them. But it's mainly because they're 12th in the AP poll. I just don't think they should be that
high. That number's too high. That's where the overrated
That's
comes
where
from.
The overrated. I think they're good. They're probably very good, but I need to see it against better competition.
Yeah, I'd probably put them at like 16, Texas Tech 17, Utah 18, like those three teams in a row in the AP poll.
I don't know who – yeah, I don't know. To me, the style points of Texas Tech, I like that more than why did you play a close game against Arkansas State?
Yeah. All right, next fill-in-the-blank question. Blank – is the most underrated team in the Big 12 Conference.
Biased opinion here. I think it's BYU. I think BYU is the most underrated team right now. I think that defense is awesome. Yet, we need to see BYU against better competition, for sure. They get an uptick this week against ECU. We'll see it against Colorado, West Virginia, Arizona. We'll have a sense of what is BYU. And even those first three in the Big 12, Spence, not until you get to Utah, Texas Tech, Iowa State, TCU, will we really know how good BYU is. BYU could be 6-0 and still not the best team in the league. They'll need to play tougher games. And that offense needs to show us a little more for us to put them over the top.
Starting with this week.
But the defense has been so good, I put BYU as the most underrated team in the league right now.
I hope Arizona is a good football team so that BYU has a test,
Spence,
at Arizona.
They don't play a tough schedule. So Arizona, I think, will be undefeated when BYU plays.
Ooh.
I think that could be a battle of undefeateds. Okay. And we still don't know how good either team is after.
Strange. If it's not BYU is the most underrated team in the Big 12, Jerem, I believe it's TCU. I'm a firm believer in Josh Hoover and Sonny Dykes, I think, has rallied the troops. That defense has been flying around. Oh, yeah. Cliches.
Wait, we got to fly around?
And just flying around.
What time is it? It's too early for that. Jeez.
I think TCU.
Wait until 2 p.m. at least.
Is a problem for the Big 12 this season. I'm telling you, I would not be surprised if TCU is in contention, if not in the Big 12 championship game in Dallas by the end of the season.
Nice. Yeah. Again, I don't know how good they are either, because I don't think UNC's good.
They're not.
They made them look foolish, but they put up a bunch of yards and points.
I feel like TCU is just like BYU.
Yeah.
Right? Those two teams. Like
And their thing is their offense.
Yes.
BYU's defense. Okay, who is the – blank is the surprise team in the Big 12.
It's the aforementioned Arizona Wildcats, 3-0. I wasn't sure that they were going to escape – even Hawaii and certainly not Kansas State without a loss. And they were in a weird place last year, and they had Tetero McMillan, one of
their
best receivers.
They're better without him? Yeah, eighth pick in the draft?
What?
The Panthers?
So I wasn't sure what was going to happen with Brent Brennan when there was so much turnover and he had to fire some people on his staff. And they looked so bad at the end of last year, and they lost one of the best players they've ever had in program history.
Well, wide receiver. Don't forget, Tyler Loop was drafted their kicker, too.
Yes!
Like, he's awesome.
But they seem to be better, and so they have surprised me.
Yeah.
Arizona beating Kansas State, as bad as Kansas State has been, Kansas State was still a 1.5-point favorite going into that game in Tucson, and Arizona, for the most part, handled them. So they're the surprise team for me. What about you?
No doubt, Kansas State. Kansas State is the surprise team. They're 1-3. They're supposed to be good. They're supposed to be awesome. All one-score games, by the way. 3-3, 3-6. They could be 4-0 so easy. They could also be 0-4. I mean, they're lucky they beat North Dakota. They are the surprise team to me.
Mm, yeah.
Like, in a bad way.
In a bad way. That's true.
The question is not inherently positive. It's just neutral. So I was like, surprise? I'm surprised by K-State.
Mm. All right. Those are our fill-in-the-blank Big 12 conversations for the moment. Our question of the day is kind of summarizing all of that. What has been the most surprising storyline in the Big 12 this season? Ben Peterson on X says Kansas State. I thought Avery Johnson was going to improve with his experience from last year, but he seems to be struggling. I hope they can figure it out.
They're still 0-1 in league. Right now, they don't look like they're on a trajectory that would lead them to be competitive in the Big 12 like we thought. But they're still 0-1, Spence. If they figured it out, they could literally still go to the Big 12 title
game. I know some of you are saying, wait, 0-1, they lost to Iowa State and Arizona.
Arizona was a non-conference game because it was scheduled before all
correct.
The Pac 12 demise.
Yeah. Russ Heaton on Instagram says,
what's up, Russ?
Biggest surprise, the Big 12 has the deepest pool of really talented quarterbacks. Sawyer Robertson looks awesome. Josh Hoover looks amazing.
What do they call
amazing.
It? The Big 12 QB club or something?
Devin Dampier looks very formidable.
That's enough.
Just say, it is what it is. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Utah Sports Nation, get your own show. BYU football with Kleinstocke returns tonight as the head coach and Andrew Gentry join Greg Rubel in Studio C to preview the BYU East Carolina game tonight. 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV.
After the break, BYU safety Raider DeMooney joins me to discuss what the BYU defense has been focused on during the bye week and how in the world they plan on slowing down ECU's passing attack. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Yesterday, I spoke with BYU safety Raider DeMooney to discuss how in the world BYU tries to slow down what looks like a vaunted ECU passing attack and how the extra time during the bye week has benefited in that regard and beyond, and some friendly competition between Raider and his dad, Jack. This is Raider DeMooney one-on-one on BYU Sports Nation. Raider, what is a bye week like emotionally for you when you play two games and you got some momentum and then you got to call a timeout?
I think it's good for us. Going back to the film room, we get an extra week to prepare for our opponent. And so it's not relaxing. I wouldn't say it's relaxing, but it's nice for us to take that little bit of a break off of our bodies from a physical standpoint and just continue to prepare for our next opponent. And so I feel like it's helped us to get a head start on that. And we feel good moving into this week.
And that next opponent are the ECU Pirates, who just took it to Coastal Carolina 38-0. And I know you of all people, along with your defense, are well aware of what that offense is capable of. They love to throw it around. So having some extra time to prepare for them, what is the biggest challenge you will face defending that ECU offense?
Yeah, I think just the tempo of their offense. I don't know if you guys watch them, but they're an offense that likes to go really fast. And, you know, getting our keys, getting our alignment, getting lined up fast, you know, that's going to be, I think, the biggest test for us. We obviously face similar offenses like SMU last year who like to do the same type of things. And so I think that's going to be our biggest challenge.
Raider, when you assess what BYU's defense has done in the first two games, what do you feel like you are most confident in when you look at the BYU defense at this point?
I just feel confident in everyone on the field, like knowing that everyone's going to do their job. And, you know, when you have that type of confidence in your teammate, it makes you play full speed every single time. And so just knowing that my teammates are going to do their assignments and do more than just their assignments, you know, it helps us to play fast. And so I think that's something that we look at as a defense, as an advantage for us. And it helps us to play faster and kind of take it to the offense rather than reacting to them.
Raider DeMooney is on BYU Sports Nation as the Cougars prepare for their first road trip of the season in Greenville, North Carolina at East Carolina. Okay, taking a few things from your last two statements. One, the speed of ECU's offense. And two, you feeling confident that your defense can play fast. What is it like preparing for an offense like that? And what type of nuances do you try and simulate in practice to get that going?
Yeah, I think preparing for it, it's a lot of mental work as well. You know, doing mental work with your safety group or with the defense of getting calls fast and just running and getting lined up immediately. And doing things like that really helps us prepare for offenses like this. And then also just going fast in practice, you know, leaving it all out there, preparing for fast situations against the scout team, against the ones when we go against them. And so just doing all those things help us to feel confident going into this game.
What have you learned in the past in your career about road trips and what makes a successful road trip, especially one where you have to travel two time zones?
Yeah, I think just staying locked in. I know when you travel two time zones, we go a day earlier than before, but making sure the main thing is still the main thing. You know, when we get to the hotel, making sure we're still locked in on our keys, locked in on our assignments. And then, yeah, just going out and letting it rip. You know, it's another game for us. Honestly, we feel happy going, or not happy, but we love playing away games as well too. It's good for us in the communication because Lavelle gets rocking at night. And so hearing each other is hard, but we're going to be able to go out there, communicate, and yeah, it's going to be good.
Along with the speed of the ECU offense, what are they doing that is working so well, specifically in the pass game, that's going to create a challenge and a solid test for you?
I think they have good receivers. That helps a lot. And then they also have a really good quarterback that knows how to find the open guy. And so I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for us is just, or at least for us, I think we just need to focus on what we can do. You know, we trust the scheme. And we trust our coaches and what they have for us, but we do understand that they have athletes, they have good players as well, and that they're going to come ready to play, but we are as well.
I know it's hard to quantify during a bye week, but how much do you feel like the extra time has helped you and the BYU defense prepare for a unique offense like this?
I think it helps a lot, especially when you can, you know, practice that whole week preparing for them and then go home and watch their game and kind of call out what you think is going to happen just based off of what we've been studying. And so it's helped a lot mentally. And then we're just going to go out there and let it rip on Saturday.
You mentioned that you love playing road games and the challenge that lies within that, but it's very well known to you and many of your teammates that BYU fans will show up everywhere. So what is it like to go to a place like North Carolina and expect a large contingent of BYU fans?
Man, that's the best feeling in the world. You know, when you're miles away from Provo and you go out and you see blue everywhere, it's the ultimate confidence booster for us as well too. I feel like when we run out and we see our fans, it gives us more motivation to go out and put on for them. And so we're excited. We know we have the best traveling fans in the nation. We have the best fans in the nation, period. And so we're excited to go out to North Carolina and see them out there.
Raider, we can't wait to watch you take on the Pirates to try and get to 3-0. I guess we'll finish with this quick question. From early in the NFL season, whose team is better, your dad's Buffalo Bills or your Las Vegas Raiders?
Hey, we're going to find out tonight. Las Vegas Raiders, we're going all the way. Geno Smith is legit. And so tonight, Monday Night Football, shout out to the Las Vegas Raiders. About to take a W.
Let's go. Raider, good to talk to you, brother.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you, Spencer.
Obviously recorded before last night's pathetic performance.
Hey, true fans. True fan. His name is Raider. Of course he needs to be a Raiders fan.
Best quarterbacks, one of the minority owners there.
Yes. Oh, good to talk with Raider.
8-1 Weber State taking on 9-0 BYU. That's a great matchup tonight in state, 8 Eastern tonight, ESPN Plus. Come on.
Still on the way, BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake on his first impressions of East Carolina. Plus, how did women's volleyball climb in the rankings after 3 impressive sweeps last week? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton, he is Jerem Jordan, and these, my friends, are your headlines.
BYU football prepares to play its first road game of the season at East Carolina Saturday. Here's what BYU head coach Kalani Sitake said about the Pirates.
You look at their team's complete team, watching them play and seeing them on the film just validates what we thought all along, that they have a lot of talent. We've gone against East Carolina before, I have as a head coach, and seeing the amount of talent they have in the program. And so it's not an easy feat, but you know, we're going to go out there and give it our best.
That's right, Kalani. That's right. BYU currently a 7.5-point favorite. Pre-game begins Saturday, 5:30 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
BYU safety Tanner Wall named to the AFCA Good Works Team by the American Football Coaches Association.
Heck yeah.
And Allstate, which recognizes college football student athletes for their exemplary community service, academic dedication, and impact on the field. Wall was one of 11 FBS players named to the Good Works Team. I cannot think of a better representative
perfection
than that from BYU.
He is the ultimate BYU student athlete. He really is. Women's volleyball moves up 3 spots to number 16 in this week's AVCA poll after 3 wins at the LMU Invitational. In fact, they beat number 16 USC. 9-0 BYU hosts 8-1 Weber State tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus.
Number 13 BYU men's golf teed off at the Wahali Classic in Colesville, Utah yesterday and finished day 1 in 4th place through 36 holes played. The final round teed off earlier this morning. We'll have an update for you as we get those.
Gabby Garcia-Fernandez had 8 kills, 2 aces for the United States and a sweep over Portugal and the Philippines at the World Championships yesterday. The Americans play Cuba tomorrow.
After the break, listen, we know how high expectations are for BYU basketball in Provo, but what are they like for ESPN's Sean Farnham? Our conversation with him, you don't want to miss it on BYUSN.
Basketball fans, he'll score for 3! Richie Saunders!
Robert Wright, AJ, and Richie, those are your big 3.
AJ's a complete athlete.
They could be there. They could be there next year in the Final Four.
I'm here to win a national championship.
Well, so much for expectations being low. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are hanging out live in Studio B. Yesterday, or I should say a few days ago, we had an opportunity to speak with ESPN's Sean Farnham, who was in town to watch BYU practice and get a solid assessment of what exactly Kevin Young has in store from AJ DiBonza to Richie Saunders and beyond. Here is our conversation with Sean Farnham. Sean, I understand that everybody gets really excited about college football and there's this big countdown to it. But I, in my heart of hearts, know you and believe that you are doing the same thing with college basketball by the day. How was the offseason for you as you wait for your beloved college basketball to return?
It was great. I mean, great offseason. Just really invested a ton. My daughter went off to college at Berkeley, so I invested a ton in her and making sure that she was set up and confident and ready to take that on. And then my son's golf game. Invested a lot of time on the golf course, which is never a bad time to spend with your son. Cell phones down. 4 hours in a golf cart is good. But probably about, three weeks ago, I probably invested 4 straight days, 8 hours plus, going through film from last year and then building out my game boards for every team in every conference that I might potentially see over the course of this college basketball season. So it's go time. The start of college football to me is not the joy of starting college football. It's the excitement that college basketball is getting that much closer.
Yes.
And BYU fans could not be more excited. I mean, people have called it the most anticipated season ever. Has anything changed in your opinion over the summer, or has it stayed the status quo? Because there's not been anything major.
No, I mean, I think that you look around the landscape of college basketball, and we look at an umbrella outside of BYU, and you look at the entire country. I think the teams that we anticipate going into this season that are going to be very elite are teams that have returning stars. Does BYU have that?
Indeed.
Okay. Extreme NBA talent. Does BYU have that?
Check.
Okay, and a point guard that has proven at the Division I level that they can lead an offense.
And here we are.
Okay, and so that's where, like, if you remember, I think one of the last times we talked, I said that I believed on paper that this was a Final Four quality team. I still believe that very much so, and I think that you look at the teams in the other programs, whether it be Florida and some of the transfers that they got, and Boogie Fland, and some of the ups and downs that he had at Arkansas, I think is going to actually help him be a better player at Florida and their front court and the experience that they have of national championship. Speaking of national championship, Houston has 9 guys that dressed for a national championship game last year, and then add in a very good recruiting class. They'll be younger than they've been in the past, so I think that's going to be kind of interesting to see how that plays out with the way that the style in which Kelvin Sampson asks of his team. Obviously, you talk about Purdue and Braden Smith and Trey Kaufman Wren. I mean, the top of the teams that you're looking at in college basketball all have similar storylines, maybe different components, maybe different strengths and pieces, but experience and guys that have come back that are ready to take it to that next level. And I think BYU fits that mold in how these pieces come together, but also what they have returning.
I think a lot of BYU fans are struggling with the idea that their expectations should be so high, because from their vantage point, it's, well, I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to get too excited. But here you are saying they're Final Four quality. We believe it. And everyone's asking, okay, well, what's the minimum threshold of success for BYU this year if they went to the Sweet 16 last year and their roster's better now?
Okay, but would you rather be a team that's like, I hope we get an at-large bid in the tournament? I hope we're not
no.
on the bubble.
So
we've forgotten about those days.
I think when you look at the roster and the way that Coach Kevin Young has put this whole team together, it's designed to be able to endure throughout the course of the season. I think what you'll see in November is not what you will see in February. I think that there's a growth that can that will continue along in that process. When I look at Final Four teams and I say that, I don't say it just, well, oh, like there's some hyperbole that I could just throw out and say that they're a Final Four team and let's just go. No. There's a growth that has to take place during the course of a season. I think that if you go back to last college basketball season, I thought Auburn really came out of the gates and won the Maui, and everybody was talking about how great Auburn was. And I thought they kind of hit a little bit of a plateau. And as the season went on, did they improve at the same level in which we saw other teams improving throughout the country? And that's no disrespect to Bruce Pearl's team. It's a really good team, obviously. But some other teams caught them. And I think BYU is going to be one of those teams that as you start the year, yeah, there's going to be Purdue and Florida and Houston up top. But BYU has the capabilities to catch them if their mindset's right, if the development process individually and collectively comes together as it should over the course of the season.
Mm.
I really like BYU's schedule. I mean, it's the toughest they've ever played.
I love it. Like, and Kevin Young told me this last year. One of the first things I said to him, I said, what have you learned about college basketball? He goes, our schedule stinks.
We have to schedule way more difficult.
They only controlled, I think, 2 of the 11.
Yeah. And it wasn't great last year in the non-conference. And this year, it's a lot better, which means, guess what? You'll probably take some losses.
Yep.
And that's okay because those losses aren't going to hurt you. They're actually probably going to help you. And if you win a couple of those big games that are on the schedule, which I assume you will, that'll help with seeding that much more. And those are the type of things that you need to do. There's been some criticism of the Big 12 over recent years about non-conference scheduling because of the strength of the conference overall. And the non-con was a little bit lighter for some teams, and they benefited so heavily from that. I think what we're seeing is a shift in college basketball in general. I think that what Michigan State and Gonzaga had been doing for a long period of time is now becoming much more of the norm. You see Dan Hurley willing to play really anybody, anywhere, anytime kind of mentality.
Including BYU this year in Boston.
And I love it. And it's great. It's great for our sport. We're trying to cut through. We're trying to take some air away from college football just a little bit and be like, hey, you know, you can watch other sports, and here's a really good game you should watch this week.
Sean, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are open.
Okay.
During football.
Understood. But that's the Thursday through Monday part that makes it a little bit more difficult.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, now to the A.J. DeBonta question. And you've already talked about what an impact he is having on BYU's perception worldwide. In fact, I was in Cleveland, Ohio with my 14-year-old recently visiting a theme park, and we picked up our rental car, and this nice young man behind the rental car counter saw a BYU logo, and he was like, yo, A.J. DeBonta. And I was like,
not Yale.
Wow, we're there. He's like,
He's like, I have no tie to BYU, but I can't wait to watch what you guys are doing. I'm like, we're there. Like, yeah. Like it's he's that type of
player. You
told
him about the pregame show, right?
Absolutely,
okay,
I didn't.
Sure you did.
But I probably should have. But you were pretty bullish on that. Like, expect this, and it's happened. With the schedule and with people recognizing, what do you expect him to do once he gets on the floor, though, and games start to actually happen?
To be a star. I mean, to be a star. You don't start the college basketball season going, hey, who's the number one pick, and then expect that player not to show up. You know, I think it's between him and Darren Peterson at Kansas. I think they're both extremely talented. Obviously, they've faced off multiple times at the prep level. But I expect AJ to be a star. What is going to help AJ become that star is the pieces that are around him, though. When you're a solo star, it becomes really easy to start to scheme. But when you look around and the king of tater tots is to the right-hand side, and you've got a point guard like Robert Wright who starred last year at Baylor, all of a sudden it creates and allows spacing. I think when you look at Kevin Young's system and the pace of play and how they want to get up the floor, all of those things are advantageous to AJ being the star that we anticipate. A year ago, we entered the college basketball season talking about Cooper Flagg. And the question was, could he handle the pressure of this moment, of everybody expecting him to be that guy? And we saw him slip and fall at the Champions Classic late in that game, and Duke took the loss, and everyone, oh, maybe he's not that guy. And then, oh, okay, he's definitely that guy throughout the course of the season. And then, of course, missed the shot that would have potentially sealed the game for Duke in the Final Four. And those are things that people will point out, but at the end of the day, anybody that looks at Cooper Flagg and say he didn't meet expectations or he wasn't that face that we needed in college basketball, they're wrong. He was. And I think that AJ has the capabilities to be exactly that. But he's a young man that has dealt with pressure for a very long period of time. This isn't the first time a lot of spotlight has been on him. You know, you go to the All-Star game and you sit down and get interviewed by Kevin Durant and you're talking to him like you're best friends with him. Like, it's a little bit different. You know, you've been out and exposed to pressure and the spotlight in which he has. I anticipate in this system that he'll thrive.
Okay, as we wrap up, just out of sheer curiosity, where would you place BYU in a preseason Big 12 conference poll? Because Lenardi's got him as a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, but I'm not sure where that factors in. You already mentioned how good Houston's going to be coming back with so much experience.
I think Arizona's really interesting, too, yes, with Jaden Bradley back in particular, yes, and a very, very talented freshman
where
class.
Where do you put BYU?
I'm interested to see if the transfers at Kansas are more of the Bill Self kind of players.
What is Texas Tech?
I think Texas Tech is loaded. I spent some time with Grant McCaslin just the other day, and I think they're loaded. And I think that he feels as confident in this team as any team that he's ever had. And the standard for them, in their vision, is to try to compete for a national championship this year. So if their vision is to compete for a national championship, if your vision is to compete for a national championship, if Houston's vision is to stay relevant and continue to compete at a national championship level, those would be my top three teams. Now, I'd put Houston probably one. I would put Texas Tech maybe ahead of BYU early, but with the potential to catch as the season goes along, just because I think that you rely a little bit on AJ as a freshman, a little bit more than what Texas Tech is going to be relying on veterans and transfers that kind of fit the mold of what they want to do. So I would put Texas Tech probably ahead of BYU, and I'd have BYU third. I'd put Arizona probably fourth.
Wow, we're there.
I can't wait for conference play. I can't wait for the Big 12 basketball media days coming up next month.
Are you guys going to Kansas City?
I'll be there.
I'll be in Ames. Yeah, so hey.
Oh, sorry.
Don't leave him
hanging. I missed you.
Don't leave
him. Sorry.
I mean, just.
I'm a good listener. He was talking.
I mean, I understand, but like you, me, maybe Slaps Barbecue.
You know it. Let's go.
I mean,
go.
We could go
Kansas
get some barbecue
City,
in Kansas City. It's not going to be bad.
Big 12 Eats Again, part two. If you recall, 2 years ago, part one.
I know, but where was part two last year?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have a voice. Never mind. Go ahead.
And we weren't used to BYU showing up in the semis.
I was like, I have no voice. This is awful.
I can't believe you
I
made
can't
it
talk
through
to
that.
You guys.
I love like, this.
That was, listen, Sean, you did a lot of impressive things. Like
the
that
steroid
was, that
injection
was
I got to get
dude.
Through, that was awesome. It was wonderful. Yeah, it's great.
Good times. And the tater tot explosion happened.
Ear, nose, and throat doctors are amazing people, especially on the road in Las Vegas when you're like, who did Lady Gaga see when she was here? Okay, yeah, I'll go see her. I'm really thrilled for the season. And I think that to your fan base that might have questions, to your earlier question, that might have questions as far as expectations and what is appropriate expectations. There will be missteps. There's going to be losses. But the end result, the end goal could be elite. Mm. And I also will say this, and I think that our sport more than any other sport sees this happen more frequently. The best team doesn't often win the national championship. There's been plenty of times where we've had unbelievable teams make runs in the NCAA tournament. Go back to that Kentucky team, by the way, that entered the NCAA tournament undefeated, that was absolutely loaded. They end up 38-1. They lose to Wisconsin. Were they not the best team that whole entire season? They were.
Clearly.
They just didn't win a national championship. So best team versus winning the national championship are two very different things in our sport. A lot of times in college football, you hear people talk about the first couple weeks already. They're like, there's four teams, and then there's a drop-off. Those top four teams are really great. You've got Ohio State. You've got Oregon. You're like, fine, great. Penn State, fine, great. Talk about those four teams and say that those are the best four teams, and you're probably right at the end of the year. Those four teams are going to be in the semifinals for a national championship. But in college basketball, it doesn't work that way. And as much as last year's NCAA tournament saw almost minimal upsets in the first round, I don't think that's going to be the case. And I think that was more of an outlier than what we'll see moving forward in our sport. And I think we're going to see more upsets this year. And you just have to try to make sure that you avoid that upset early in the NCAA tournament and you survive in advance and give yourself a chance.
Okay, I have one more bonus question here, because understandably, we've spent a lot of time talking about A.J. DeBonta and Rob Wright III and Richie Saunders. Who's the sleeper on BYU's roster Kata. That fans are going to know about?
I think Kata is. I think his role is so huge on this team. His strength, his ability around the basket. I think that to me is the guy that you're going to win the Big 12, you've got to have some muscle and you've got to be strong. And I think that he's got the opportunity to do that.
Let's go. I was going to say it's either him or Kennard Davis. I can't wait to watch him play defense either.
Those two will be the best two defenders.
Let's go. Sean, so good to catch up
with
you,
brother. Yeah, great to see you, man.
I mean, look, I'm on BYU TV in September. How lucky am I, to quote the great Bill Walton?
Yes, I just wanted to do it in a Walton voice. Has there ever been a greater interview?
And again, no shots taken.
Yet. We're about to end. I think we're done.
New territory. Sean, great to have you with us, brother. We got a little borderline on the shot taking once the interview ended.
Yeah, once it was over. So after that conversation, Sean went and saw BYU practice. And he told our producer, I wish we could have done that interview after I went to practice. He is even higher on BYU after watching them in person, which is incredible.
When you
get
see
excited,
them,
America.
Yes. When you see them in person, it's like people keep asking, like, what do they look like when they practice? Like, you just got to see it.
Awesome.
It's hard to explain.
The greatest team BYU's ever assembled preseason.
Final Four caliber.
Yeah.
That's what
they
look like.
They got to do it. And we're excited to watch it and enjoy that process. But, man, it looks great right now. If you missed any interviews like that with Sean Farnham and others, Raider DeMooney earlier, shows, Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the free BYU TV app.
What has been the most surprising storyline in Big 12 football so far this season? More responses to our question of the day. This is BYU Sports Nation.
It's Ryan Staub of Colorado.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with our question of the day. What has been the most surprising storyline in Big 12 football so far this season? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, in from SportsFan15 on X, who says, Utah receiving so much instant respect after a couple of average wins, and BYU getting so little when looking at last year's outcomes.
I mean, they looked good in doing it. It was a better second half against Wyoming for touchdown drafts. But, yeah.
Okay.
I know. I've talked about it this week. I agree.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
John McBride's the Associate Athletic Director of Communications and Media Strategy. He tweeted, 5 weeks into the fall season, here are all the P4 teams with one loss or fewer across football, women's soccer, and volleyball. Nebraska, Mississippi State, and BYU at 16-1-1 combined.
We're spoiled. Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham and Raider DeMooney.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Chris Badger. We'll see you for volleyball tonight on ESPN+. Go Cougs.
Tip View, Notre Dame.